We haven't recorded an Everwood podcast in a long time. It's because Adam won't let us watch season three. This is what it's like to be friends with Adam Lover.
Are there sanctions on season three of Everwood?
Embargo, sanctions, boycott. No, it's called time management. I needed a break from editing, and I needed a break, consequently, from watching and adding to the pile of editing. But the good news is we are back into the feed, baby. I know most people do not want to hear what this is about to be. It's another bonus episode, and we're making it literally for one person. Mm-hmm. But this, the other good news is that I have started editing season two. And so it will be coming your way soon, folks. Consider this a little teaser, us saying hi. And I'm not going to do the theme song, but it's going to be back in your ear holes in probably a couple weeks.
Ooh, he's putting
Are we going to do the theme song of what we're about to watch? Not, which none of us have watched, so let's make it up.
So we'll... No, no, no!
Of mirrors. When you look at it, you see the future. Or maybe the past. But it sure as hell isn't the present. Why? Because nobody wants to look at the present in a mirror that's a regular mirror. This is a fucking mirror mask. Tweet, 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 tweet.
Okay, well, that was beautiful. I have what I know looks like a cum stain on my shirt. It's not. It's eggs. I had breakfast tacos for dinner. Nice. So I'm just going to change it. I'm very self-conscious about my...
Oh, your cum stain.
It does look like a cum stain.
We could not see it at all, by the way. There's no... I think when you pulled it up, I was like, oh, there's maybe? But, we would have never seen it. But now everyone can hear about it if you keep this in.
Yeah, I will.
Good.
Well, that was a lovely theme song. I don't think it was necessary because we are about to watch Mirror Mask together. And when we come back and discuss it, we could do the theme song actually then. But that was better, obviously. So good job.
Yeah, this is definitely better, bro. Wait, are we going to share our trepidation?
Here's the story.
Yep.
Our dear friend, Monty.
Montgomery Monty Burns.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
They are a Simpsons fan. I'm sure they'll appreciate that. At least I assume they're a Simpsons fan. They reference it all the time.
Oh.
out of hate.
out of hate. Yeah. So, our dear friend Monty started out as a fan of some of our content, right? Monty has been a longtime listener to your D&D podcast, mm-hmm. Pork Fried Dice.
Mm-hmm.
Has been a member of the community that I'm in, Helpful Goat, and a listener to content there, and as well as a contributor, plays in D&D games over with Helpful Goat, creates amazing art for all kinds of things, fan art for Pork Fried Dice, fan art for Helpful Goat stuff. They've done some character art for Goats and Dragons, the D&D podcast.
Didn't they even do fan art for Everwood Never Wouldn't?
That I'm in. They've done art for Everwood Never Wouldn't. Because they have subsequently also been a fan of Everwood Never Wouldn't. And
ooh,
so...
I jumped the gun on that one a little bit, didn't I?
No, that's exactly what we're building up to. Monty listens to this feed. And Monty... recently, at the time of us recording this, has had some really tough times. They live in Australia, and there was some really bad flooding there recently. A couple, bouts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And their hometown and their home was really, really badly affected, just, destroyed. And they've been, displaced and living with other people and has just had a lot of different shitty things going on. And so, our thoughts have been with them. We care.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm a pretend celebrity with a platform. let's do a podcast that Monty can listen to.
No, to be fair, they told us that one of the things
joy, laughter, whatever,
was
listening
to specifically Everwood, Never Would.
And I was like, just tell us what to fucking watch.
Yes.
And we'll do it. And then...
Oh, yeah, people who know Monty... Yeah. Oh, wait, no. They what? Will have
they
known
will
Monty.
Know.
I got my timelines crossed.
So that's the other thing, is like we have our season two episodes for Everwood completely recorded. Mm-hmm. We just have yet to start releasing them. So we are so far ahead of where we're actually releasing. But that's a little teaser that Monty may appear as a guest on a season two episode of Everwood Never Would.
We did an episode without them too. So, you know, we're just going
to
flip a coin
we'll
decide which one to release. That's a joke, just in case anyone didn't know that, Monty. We didn't actually do that.
Can you imagine us recording two versions of an episode?
Yeah, like, what if Monty's terrible? We got to do this before or after. Was it before? Which is worse? Probably after. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it after. It was just before.
So, yes. This is a bonus episode that's going into the public Everwood feed. There's no private feed. There's no paywall. Never will be. And we are making it specifically for literally one person, Monty.
But everyone's allowed to listen to it.
Yes, please listen.
You don't stop.
Did we
keep
say what
listening.
We're doing yet?
No. So this is we haven't.
Miraculous Monty, if you want to follow them on Twitter or Instagram, see their art, commission like art from them for your D&D character, or for like, I'm sure they draw like Everwood characters for you if you're a diehard Everwood fan and you want art. But anyway, Miraculous Monty, Mirror Mask, a lot of M's here. So that's cool.
And did we say that was what they picked?
I think
we kind of skipped that part.
You just said that phrase, and it's a weird thing to say.
What Monty said.
You sang it ad nauseum.
No,
I'm not the first
nauseam.
Person mentioning Mirror Mask.
That's all I said when I was singing.
No, but we asked, like, what do you want us to watch? And Monty was like, well, would you watch this? And then my problem is that
first of all,
the
Mirror Mask
they,
is a movie.
Mirror Mask is a bit. Well, who
if
the fuck?
If you're like us, who hasn't heard of it?
I had not heard of it. But when the freaking link popped up, the freaking screen cap has haunted my dreams for like 4 weeks. That's why I've been like, when are we gonna do this thing?
Yeah. Monty indicated
terrifying.
That when they tell people like this is like my favorite movie or like please watch this, and they see this one image, like. Mm-hmm. It's really disturbing, really unsettling, and like, so Monty kind of wasn't sure that we would actually do this, but here we are, we're going to do it.
Well, you still haven't done it yet.
Yeah, so we might quit, so.
We might end up quitting. I hope that the movie isn't outright terrible.
It's
I doubt
their
that it will
favorite
be.
Movie. That's what they said.
Monty
their
has good
favorite.
Taste.
So, like,
good taste.
Unless you're the kind of
we
person,
didn't ask
Monty,
them, like,
that
what their ironically favorite movie is.
No. I don't even think we asked them what their favorite movie was. They said,
okay,
this is my favorite movie. All would right. you watch this movie? I think I just said, what do you want us to watch?
Right.
And then we'll make fun of it or whatever, or like talk about it. And then that happened, and I was like, oh, no, that picture's scary. But then I found out that Neil Gaiman's involved. So that is positive.
The only other thing I know about it is that it's. I think it is based probably on a Neil Gaiman book.
Or a short story or something. I don't know.
I've never heard of a book called that by him.
And or he wrote the screenplay or something. Mm. So my only, like, I have not actually read any Neil Gaiman, which is shocking to some people. Mm. I've seen the movie Stardust.
So have we.
Which, by the way, I've been watching. I watched the first 7 episodes of Our Flag Means Death.
Yes, what, look
we'll
at him.
Talk about
7
it.
Episodes
in
oh
one
god,
day.
Yeah.
Today.
Not say anything to us. Oh my god! I've been like all day today. We watched an episode last night, and I was just like, Eric, I keep thinking. Of, and
all right.
Like I know. Okay.
Am
okay,
I
I'll
further
I
than you?
Stop.
Almost. No.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we're neck and neck.
Oh,
well, anyway, That is just to say that the show gives me major like Stardust vibes in terms of like Robert De Niro and the pirates.
I see what you mean.
That movie.
The lightning pirates.
Very, very fun. So, but anyway, yeah, I've seen Stardust, and also another helpful goat member and friend of mine, Chelsea, read to me Stardust when we were kind of like taking turns reading things to each other during the pandemic.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that was really cool. But
did you see American Gods, the show?
I have indeed watched. I watched the first season of American Gods.
We haven't seen that, but I've read American Gods. I've read a bunch of Gaiman.
Some additional Neil Gaiman context. So
I've seen Coraline, which is what this most closely reminds me of. That's his book.
That's true. Okay.
We freaking own that too. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So between American Gods and Coraline.
Yeah. Coraline is the closest thing that I can think of that. At least if I'm not watching it at all.
So that that makes me have somewhat like high expectations for this movie. Like I really like all the things we've listed.
Yeah. And he's a great writer.
I'm excited to watch Mirror Mask with you guys.
Yes.
So we are going. Oh, by the way, my name's Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, hi.
Because we never introduced ourselves. Normally, it's welcome to Everwood, Never Wouldn't.
Eric,
hi.
Hey, I said I'm a pretend celebrity or whatever the fuck I said before.
Yeah, we're doing sure this because people know our names.
We don't
our
have
names.
To say. Yeah, exactly.
We're at the
Everyone
point at which
knows.
If people hear us, they're not like getting our voices confused. Right. You know that early stages of a podcast where you have
you
idea
don't know
who's
who anyone
talking.
Is.
I never quite figured out who was who on Reply All.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
DJ and what's his name? And one of them is gone now because of all the drama. Podcast drama. Woo!
Woo!
All right. We are never going to have any podcast drama because we are Ever Would, Never Wouldn't. And this is a bonus episode between seasons. Y'all, we're going to go watch a movie and we will be right back.
Yay!
Okay, wait, did you say we're recording?
Yes.
Okay. What the fuck did we just watch?
Yeah.
I have a lot of examples of what we just watched.
Yes. Uh-huh. Are you going to say them all? I think I saw you making part of your
list. Yeah. Of all the things we just watched?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just watched The Neverending Story.
Mm-hmm.
We did just watch Coraline. We just watched Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched My Neighbor Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
We just
watched
any Roald Dahl book.
Legend too, and Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. Did you say Labyrinth?
I didn't.
Okay.
worse.
Oh no! It's so okay. Oh. So like my notes started out so. I was so happy. I was so happy. And like, I don't regret watching it.
Right. No, I was thinking about it in terms of, I listen to this podcast now over on CBB World called Scotty Hasn't Seen.
Hmm.
Scott Hasn't Seen.
Oh.
I said Scotty.
Because it's better. But like, Scotty Hasn't Seen sounds better. They should change their name.
Scotty Aukerman. It's Scott Aukerman. And yeah, they always end it with like, are you glad that you've seen this movie.
Yeah, I am.
So I was thinking about that. And I definitely, but yeah, my answer is definitely yes.
It's part of the pantheon of all of those kinds of movies.
That's I'm not.
Eric.
Sorry.
Eric, we're doing this for Monty.
I'm glad I'm
recording this podcast.
I will be honest that like that movie should have been maybe 45 minutes long. It was very long for what it was because it was a lot of the same story that I've seen before, but I really like seeing people be really creative.
That's creative. Mean, that's the thing is like, it's so like uniquely like story structure aside and like story beats aside, the visual, like the aesthetic of it is absolutely like singularly creative and fascinating and baffling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I think that the novelty of it, like, at first was, like, very exciting. And then, because of the length of the movie and because of, like, it was like hard to kind of track some of the story and the story beats,
the world, or like the logic of the world, the logic of the magic, or the logic of the what the hell was happening. And I think it was like explained by like, it's a dream or something. Is it? But
which made the heavy lifting that the visuals were doing, like, just it became a bit too much for it to be able to like compensate for.
Yeah.
Essentially. What a strange movie that came out in 2005. Mm-hmm. I found myself like wondering like what, like, I mean, the uncanny, strange aesthetic, I guess it was clearly intentional, designed by the director, Dave McKean or whatever. But part of me was like, shouldn't this have been like executed better in 2005?
I'm glad that you said it was 2005, because I was going to ask when.
Work?
I don't even care about the digital work. To me, it just felt like it was made in the 80s. Like, it just felt authentically like,
which might have been intentional. Yeah.
They might have been like, I want to make Legend 2. Mouth spits out goo.
It felt like how like I used to think like I would never want to watch a British TV show.
Because
it had
the quality,
that same like feel to like it in a lot of ways. Like it feels like everything is dubbed.
Yes. Like, oh, the sound here. What happened? Were they recording in a hurricane? What's going on? Like, yeah,
the way that things cut. And oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, what? See, okay.
I mean, it sounds like Eric
really hated it.
Less of a Eric did not enjoy it.
No.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it. Like, it was strange and confusing, which mm-hmm. which I've got a pretty like high threshold for. Like, I
do
weird, confusing things, and there were scenes and moments in this that were like baffling, but like in a good way. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like at an hour and 40 minutes, it got to be a bit too much even for me. So like, even I'd say chop 20 minutes off. Like hour and 20, like under 90 minutes. Like, I think this could work, but, but yeah, let's just go through some of like the notes and just like acknowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, like the opening was awesome.
Yes.
It reminded me of
Amelie or something. It reminded me of.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it was so adorable and quirky and fun. Absolutely.
I am queen of everything in this part of town. I am queen of the city. And queen of the towers, and queen of the small little wriggly things. And everyone who looks at me says, oh, she is such a wonderful queen. And not ever embarrassing at all. Is so normal and goes to a school. And has nothing to worry about. Except... Ah! But I am the queen of evil. And I must warn you, you cannot escape my cunning use of black magic markers!
I love the opening on the sock puppets, and then the reveal that the sock puppets are actually on
feet. Yeah, I did like that.
Good.
That was fun. Uh-huh. The design, the aesthetic of the opening titles was really cool.
Yes.
And then I was excited about the
Jim
kind of
Henson.
Henson.
Yeah, we were all like, woo, when that popped on screen. We were really excited.
But yes, Jim was long dead when this came out. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But the Jim Henson Company was used for some of those weird fucking creatures, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited by like the circus setting.
Yes. Uh huh.
Yeah. I did. I wrote down. So, she says, "What's the main character's name?"
Helena.
Helena. Yeah.
Says to her mom that like her mom's like, you're gonna be the death of me, I think, and she says, oh, I wish I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said,
and I wrote down, I made my circus disappear.
That was so good, because we're all thinking Home Alone. Yeah, absolutely. And then you said that, and I was like, that's the absolute perfect thing to say.
This is also I mentioned while we were watching it that this I think is my first time seeing the actor Rob Brydon, I think his name is, her dad, in anything other than the Trip movies that he's done Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan. I didn't know what you mentioned something Trip. I thought you were talking about like fucking Road Trip.
Oh yeah,
I said Road Trip, but every movie is like, it's called The Trip. Then the trip to Italy. They're all like trips.
Are they acted movies or are they documentaries or something? Whatever.
They're improv, right?
They're
improvised. They're playing themselves. They do impressions. But they're loose kind of fictional storylines in them about them and their relationships with their families and their relationships with their careers. And
oh, that's cool.
They're really solid, fascinating movies. And I've almost watched them
in the past. I've never actually, but I didn't know this was him.
I recommend them.
Interesting.
But yeah, so it was cool seeing him.
I thought there was like some series of like National Lampoon's road trip movies.
When you said road trip movies, I was like, oh, is it like those American Pie kind of movies or
road trip?
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, I have no idea who this guy is or what that is really. Right. Yeah. I just loved all the art. Like there was so. I mean, this is just the overall. As I was watching it, I was like, I know why Monty loves this because Monty is an artist. And the whole, it's about an artist. Her art is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, even the weird CGI creatures are like, you could see them inspired by her art. Yeah. And I said at one point, I want to live in her room. Even though it was like, the whole fucking movie in the real world was so dingy and gross.
It was the cut, though. I liked that. It was the circus. Yeah. And then run down gray.
And everything
I noted actually, and the transition of that I really liked was the ambulance. Like seeing like the whole circus world, and then for all I knew, this movie took place in a world where it was just like circus land.
Yeah.
And these circus people are weird and the woman's sick. And so they're going to take it to the circus doctor or something. You know what I mean?
The trolls in the forest.
So the appearance of the ambulance signaled to me in this really like visceral way, like, oh, okay. Like, this is not just circus land. This is like, there's also like a real world here with real sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciated that contrast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like the whole, even at the end, I always skip to the end, but like at the end when the dark character's out there, she just blends in with that world, which is so weird because she's supposed to be from the dark land.
But she says she likes, likes being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
What the fuck? Those fucking sphinxes, you guys. What the fuck?
The sphinxes were that's
supposed to be unsettling.
The image, like, that's the image that Monty shared in the Discord.
Yes,
it was like,
but why when are people they see all... this. What is there a particular face, by the way? Were they all the same face?
I think so.
And like, who was that? Is that somebody famous or do you know? Do we know if it's famous to British people or something?
The only famous presence I think was Stephen Fry as the librarian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a whole page on like, I think this, maybe it's because it was in this movie, but I decided that I'm tired of Stephen Fry playing like a narrator. I loved him so much.
You literally just said the other day.
Because it was like, what was it? It was when we were watching.
So great.
It was Hitchhiker's Guide movie.
He was,
which came out the same year as this.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And he was the book.
And he's the narrator.
And I was like, oh, I love it when
that's what he said. He's Stephen Fry's so great, and now you're mad that he was.
Well, it was only like one scene.
I know.
Well, it's probably because there was a period in that, like, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 years where Stephen Fry was used for everything.
He's the Little Big Planet narrator.
Yes, like
it's
he was used for everything.
Character.
So I understand what you're saying,
sure.
But he is great. He's great.
I just said it 2 nights ago I love him doing that.
In the beginning, she found herself in a new and empty space. And all was white. And the corners were a bit flaky, and the carpet was a bit manky, but it was a good space. And she sat in the center and saw a clean white sheet of void.
What the fuck, these fucking sphinxes? Like, for fucking real.
No, I don't have an explanation for why, but I liked the sphinxes. I think they were creepy and weird, and like the face that the one sphinx that, like, when they were visiting the mask store, the woman's place, And like the one Sphinx that was like in the toilet bowl or in the
yes!
sink or whatever.
Yes, it was
and
in just the
like,
toilet.
A second before it cut, it just made this weird like sneering face.
Yes.
Like I that's weird and cool to me.
See, I like weird and cool, but I thought, my problem was it was so badly done that it felt distracting to me. Like, even though I knew that it was from a long time ago, I was like, oh my God, like, would they have done something better? Is this what they did?
For me, it's weird to like, because, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I have the same question about, like, in terms of, like, 2005, like...
Right.
But, so, my ultimate kind of viewpoint is, this is obviously such a deliberate, specific aesthetic.
Yeah.
That, like, saying, like, could they have executed it better, mm-hmm. like, seems like a metric that doesn't even apply.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They had something that they were like, oh, like, this is gonna be weird.
Because, yes,
fucked up, we're gonna do.
But I mean, it felt like a commercial or something. It didn't feel like a real story. It felt like... It's like when there were things that were so like bizarre, not like bizarre, like weird, but
I'm
like
assuming there like, were budgetary restraints,
but
it's far enough that it was like pre Toy Story quality, you know what
yes,
I mean? Which was 10 years before.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's so why I was like, I mean, Toy Story was like brilliant in 1995. So, I mean, but some interesting like little attempts at like thematic shit, like like lines
the Seinfeld
like
music. No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say the music was really
oh yeah
janky.
Yes, yeah.
So strange.
It was my music point that I liked when they with the Sphinxes when they were saying "Don't let them see you're afraid," mm-hmm. and the music was just repeating that phrase. I don't know if you noticed
ooh.
That.
I also loved the Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear sequence, but we'll get to that.
God.
But no, so like lines like dangerous, not dangerous, same thing. And then the idea of like you need a mask to express your feelings. Like, how are you going to express your feelings without a mask?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Some of that's like cool to kind of chew on and mm-hmm. think about. I liked when the chicken that the one character brought into like assert that this might be the charm. The chicken is like, look at that face, gives you the willies about Helena.
Yes.
But that was funny.
I liked the cool police chopstick centipede
thing.
Oh
yeah, those were cool.
They were weird and scary, but I was like, whoa, a centipede made out of like chopsticks.
The middle ones used their legs to like create a cell for her.
So weird. See, but that's like so many of my first notes, just to say, like kind of, I guess, repeating a point, but like so many of my first notes are like, wow, I love this like spider eye thing that becomes on, like it goes on her face. And I love like there were so many visual elements. Like, I'm like the oddments, I don't understand this, but they're cute. Like the boots that were making a mouth and stuff. Mm. But like, and like then the cool centipede thing. And then I was just like, it felt like I couldn't catch up to the novelty of everything going on. Like, there was always something real weird. I guess I don't really watch movies like this a lot. Do you, Adam? You do. You watch, like, Twin Peaks and shit. And that's what I couldn't keep up.
I mean, I was thinking of... There's this one movie that I've seen a few times called Consuming Spirits that took... Like, the creator of it took like years and years and years to create this weird... brand of stop motion animation and like, but like I was suddenly thinking about that and I was like, I'm into it. I'm into like weird grotesque, and I haven't always been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember as a kid like feeling as drawn to Invader Zim as I was kind of repulsed by the world of Invader Zim.
Mm-hmm.
like and like things like Ren and Stimpy, I'm like,
right,
fuck, mm-hmm. gross, no
yes,
thank you,
right, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I think right, the aesthetic really cool, interesting, weird, and then I think it just kind of got like too bloated and like
mm-hmm.
just fell under the weight of itself without maybe a robust enough, coherent enough narrative to kind of like justify it.
I think it would have helped if there were some breaks.
Right. That's what I was saying.
If it cut
it could
between
never...
the real world and
oh,
this.
Yeah.
Like,
good...
It was just like... overwhelming.
Yes, it just That's felt like true. It was an acid trip or something, and I've never taken acid before, so I guess I don't know what I'm talking about, but it just felt like a hallucination the whole time.
Yeah. I liked those statues in the air, the two statues.
Oh, yeah.
Like giants.
Race with
the
each
giants,
other.
Yes.
Fascinating.
I liked the fish streets. I liked that, like, yeah. because of that drawing where she had put the fish in the streets, just the fish were throughout all the streets, mm-hmm. like a little guidance system or something. It was so cool.
This is, by the way, I shared my screen, Adam. This is the guy who played the Sphinx.
Oh.
It says face and voice.
Simon Harvey.
Not a famous guy.
The gorilla chicken pigeons.
Oh, my God. Oh.
You were scared of those? You were
no,
scared?
No, they were so sexy.
Yeah, they were sexy for sure. Those muscles.
They were so smooth. But like, off. No, I liked it. The funny thing is, look, like I said, gorilla chicken pigeons, OMG. And then I'm like, hi, WTF. Like, because of the nose falling off. And then like how smooth they were. When they walked away, it was like, is this a shaved gorilla ass?
Right.
Like, what's happening? No.
Well, and that would make sense. Yeah, because it kind of, I guess there's all these correlates between their real lives. So the gorilla that comes out and like dances with them and like, that physicality, right. that physique then is in the dream world.
Oh, so crazy. Crazy. Oh, what about the riddle though, Adam? Can we discuss how I hate bad riddles? Yeah. That was not a good riddle. I hate that's like the one thing in The Hobbit that I really have always just hated. And I'm sure that's like, it's probably like a thing, huh?
Wait,
the whole
what?
Like, what do I have in my pocket? That's not a fucking riddle, Adam.
So you mean when somebody breaks the rules?
She just said,
what is green hanging on the wall and
whistles?
Laughs. Oh, whistles. That's what it was.
And I'm thinking about it as it pans away. I'm fucking thinking. And then she's like, a herring. And then I'm like, oh, are they gonna play with like a red herring?
Like a red
is that
herring,
gonna be
yeah.
but like no.
You can paint it green. It's nailed to the wall.
And
I
I'm like,
threw
no,
that in, so.
That's not fair. There's no consequences for the breaking of the rules, just
well,
it's
but
so
here's
stupid.
The, yeah, yeah. There was no real stakes in that scene because the Sphinx itself
seemed like an idiot.
Not really like very good at that job or not. Committed to any kind of like rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So which is why I didn't like really care.
But I do care because like I hate that. Why I like riddles. That's mm-hmm. the thing. And so like
so
she
it,
said
it
this
have,
and I'm
it
like
it could have been a much more interesting scene.
Yeah.
I you know and at this point maybe not in 2005 but at this point surely that like what walks on four legs, two legs, three legs.
Right.
Like, that's played out. But maybe in 2005 it was
No, it had pretty, to have been. I feel like I knew that when I was like 10. It's like the first riddle.
When you were walking on four legs.
Because isn't that like the traditional Sphinx thing?
Like those hairless gorilla birds.
Oh, that might be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it
the
traditional Sphinx thing? Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, everyone knows it. So, yeah. But, like, then she's just like, here's some bullshit. And we're supposed to be like, great, go, girl. No!
What? I didn't like her riddle.
What's the alternate answer?
No, her alternate answer to the four legs, three legs.
Yes,
that was
cute. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
fun.
That was a nice alternative, whatever.
What walks on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs in the evening?
William. He's a performing dog.
No, the answer is man.
No, I think you'll find it's William. I saw him. He was on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon show, and he was limping on three in the evening because he hurt his paw. He can skateboard too.
So let's kind of bird's eye view here. Well, not bird's eye view, but just kind of getting like, so the movie is trying to explore, at least to my eye, right? Like
she, I mean, first of all, she's grieving.
That is, thanks for beating me to the punch here. Which is it's appropriate. This is Everwood Never Wouldn't.
Yes.
But yeah, it's trying to explore how like this young person like processes mm-hmm. grief or like uncertainty and fear.
Yeah, worry, mm-hmm.
And in that respect, it reminded me of this recent movie, A Monster Calls, which is awesome. Which is, like, I remember being a really good movie.
Is that before or after Monsters University?
after, I think. And but then it's also doing weird shit around, like, supposed to be like a coming of age thing. Uh-huh. Like right. I read Helena as being like prepubescent, like 12, 13.
At first, for sure. Like the way that she was, when she was upside down, I was like, I actually couldn't tell if this was a young boy at first. Like I was just kind of like not paying attention. Then I'm like, this is a young person. And, yeah. And then as it got like it sounded like she was like just starting to get rebellious, but like, I guess like if she's old enough to date that old ass boy,
no, but
then she must be in her 20s or something.
No, but they set her up as I like, it seems like 14 or 15, maybe. And then the guy, like the whole, throughout most of the movie, like especially with that mask and the way they do his weird beard, they make him read as like late 20s at least. Right?
I was like, is this Christopher Eccleston?
So
yeah, I know that was it was interesting.
So really strange for them to suddenly.
I hate that
suddenly...
guy, by the way. I hate him.
The guy?
The Valentine guy.
Oh yeah.
I like him better without the mask, but like, yeah, it was weird. Yeah, not a great character. Yeah. Didn't track his redemption arc or like whatever the fuck. Like, what? He changed his mind and he's not a bad guy? Like, I don't know. But yeah, so not well executed in terms of like, if we were supposed to be thinking about
them together
that is like a romantic connection. Like,
when that first was brought up, everyone's reaction was just like,
"We were all like, what?
Oh,
like,
they're supposed to be."
And the
what?
Fact that it's the fact that it's her mother being like, "Oh, you have a boyfriend?" Like,
right? Yeah,
what?
It was so weird. None of us got that vibe. Yeah,
they reinforce it then in at the end with that act with that character, like them running in and having a little like meet cute.
Mm-hmm.
Really strange.
So the actors are 12 years apart.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Weird.
Ew. This was 2005, so she would have been 19.
Oh.
So he would have been 31.
Gross!
She was 19 at the time?
That's so
I think so.
Stupid.
If I did my math right. 1984. So yeah, I mean, assuming it was filmed relatively soon before it was released, 19-ish.
She seems really young.
Yeah.
It's
definitely
weird.
Did not feel like, even, it didn't even, like, okay, beyond our just assumption because we thought he was older and she was younger, did the movie actually, like, at all telegraph that? Like, it didn't feel like there was any kind of connection between
them. The connection
between
those two? No, not at all until the mother said that.
Right.
Because it wasn't like even in the real world there was any exploration of her being with anybody, right? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, so the movie seems to be trying to like prop her up as somebody who is like she actively is repelled by anybody who's like kissing or anything. Like that happens a couple of times. It happens at the circus with, I think is it her mom and dad who she's or a baby to her circus.
But I got that more as the mom and dad. I thought.
But then on the bus. So like.
Oh, really? So she was
on the way to the hospital,
I was
two people
laughing at you saying something about how it was hot or something.
Every time she sees anybody kissing, she's like, ugh.
Really? That plays as like a 12-year-old or something.
Exactly.
That's not even like a 14-year-old.
That's why I read her as being young. Yeah.
That's
like she's
really
not even
weird.
Cool with like people like so I don't know. The movie's trying to do something with like a coming of age story for like a young woman, because like then like in that scene of like why do birds suddenly appear, and they're like transforming her and kind of like making her grow up into a more mature like girl, and the lines of that song are like why do like boys follow you and, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like this movie is taking a swing. I just have no idea if it's hitting or if it is like, if it's in the right direction. Like, I'm not really sure.
That is why all the boys in town follow you all around. Just like me, they long to be close to you.
Well, that whole thing was like a complete, I hate to say it, but it's like a copy of legend. It's what happens to the main protagonist woman in legend. She goes from being this innocent girl to being tainted by the devil, Tim Curry. She literally changes costume and is dancing around and has dark hair and dark things, dark makeup, dark dress all of a sudden. Mm. And it's like, it's iconic. That's why when I saw that, I'm like, okay. So, I mean, the scene was great. I love the creepy mannequins. I love the music, even though it was completely bizarre. And the thing that I liked actually the most was just because, oh my gosh, Adam, did you notice? She kept her shirt on as they put the dress like on the shirt, and then all of a sudden the dress was on her. And I was like, I really like that this is super, because it was super creepy and invasive, but it wasn't rapey because of that very, it was like having, you know, when you're little and you have the bathing suit on with a t-shirt under, like when you're really little. Oh my God. It was so interesting. I was like, what a wise choice for 2005. You know what I mean?
Right. But then contrast that with like, I don't think they nailed it in terms of like the dynamic between her and Valentine.
No.
Really weird.
Very weird. Yeah.
But again, that is totally perfect for Everwood Never Wouldn't, because we have a lot of, like, we've been talking about a lot of that weirdness coming up in season two. We will say no more, because you will hear it later. So, I kind of was expecting the mother to just
die
early in the movie. I just thought, like, it's going to be this kind of, I thought it was going to be this kind of movie where, like, so the last thing she said to her mom was, I wish I was the death of you. And then it's going to be she has to explore, have to learn that it's not your fault. And then, the mother didn't die. What was it, like cancer? Did we ever actually learn?
It seemed like it was heavily insinuated. Like
right, because they said they got it all. And like the whole thing about the Dark Queen with the stuff spitting out and the black tendrils eating everything, I figured that was cancer. That was kind of my takeaway. I don't know.
A reminder to everyone that Everwood Never Wouldn't's official stance on cancer is that it's bad.
Yes.
It's very brave of us to say, but it's true.
I think I want to get out ahead of that whole issue.
But the issue being that I tweeted back in 2005, I fucking love cancer and someone's going to find it.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess I'm really curious what the characters of Everwood would think of this movie having seen it. If they were walking out of the theater together.
Oh, you know who would love it?
Oh, who would love it? You have a hard opinion? Who would love it?
I think Ephraim would kind of dig it. Because I was thinking about Ephraim, like in terms of like processing grief around the mother figure.
Yeah, but he also loves that anime shit.
Yeah, he does.
That's true, sure.
And this is kind of some anime shit.
I mean, but what about the sister of the kid that died also? I think she would like it too.
Lainey. I bet I could see Ephraim and Lainey going on a date and see it.
Or like going to a convention and dressing as characters from it together. And then they touch hands.
Came out at the same time.
What?
This came out at the same time that Everwood did.
This came out in September 2005. Season 3 of Everwood, which is what we are about to start watching.
Ended
May 2005. So definitely in season 4 of Everwood, Mirror Mask exists.
Okay, I kind of missed everything you said because, like, are we actually going to start watching Everwood soon? I'm so excited. Wait, are you just
I mean, this
joking?
No, this was the main, like, we had to get Mirror Mask done before we started season three.
This was the first episode of season 3 of Everwood?
Season 3, episode 1, Mirror Mask.
I didn't get to predict
what
it meant. No, I got it into my head that, like, well, if we're going to do Mirror Mask for Monty, like, it has to be a between seasons thing. And now that I started editing season 2.
Oh my God, you started?
Yeah, you woke up at 4 in the morning.
Yes!
No, I woke up at like 2 in the morning.
Oh.
Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Wait, did you get enough rest? Editing. Oh my God.
It doesn't matter. I was in the middle of a long weekend and I was very motivated. So I will say, The part of the reason why I like felt I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, I need to create something, is because I did see everything everywhere all at once.
I want to see that.
Which is my new favorite movie. And I do, I want to say something about it.
Oh gosh. And do I take my headphones off?
You guys maybe take your headphones off, because okay, cool. I know that you don't want to know anything. What I want to say to those of you who are listening to this, first of all, I highly recommend Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is my new favorite fucking movie. It's beautiful. It's perfect. And weirdly enough, this movie seems like a weirdly appropriate kind of thematic companion piece to Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because in terms of it exploring, darkness and light, but specifically through the prism of this, like the relationship between a mother and a daughter, and like, you know, good and bad, and is like my mother good or evil, is my daughter good or evil. I did not do a great job of it describing that just now, but I think there's some interesting connections there, especially with like the end of the world scenario, the discussions around like, you know, it's going to be the end of the world, and some of the like exploration of finality and like the meaningfulness or meaninglessness of the world in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Anyway, I should have given a spoiler warning on that for those of you who haven't seen it, but it's a beautiful film. Go check it out. And yeah, some interesting resonance between that and this movie. All right, come on back.
Wait. All right.
Wait. Okay, I'm here.
Everwood Everywhere All at Once. Everything Everwood All at Once.
Oh my god.
He just spent that whole time coming up with that.
Yeah, I bet.
I was just thinking it out loud, like, what can I say about it, folks? What can I do?
You know what another good line from this movie was when that stupid guy that's too old for the girl said, if we put little wheels on our shoes, we could just roll around. We all liked that one so much. I thought that was really cute. Oh,
I just remember them throwing the books at the ground and then surfing on them.
That was cool.
Eric hates it. Okay, your line, you didn't say it during the podcast, so I wrote it down when you said it out loud. I quoted, this is him. This is like the movie version of the first 20 minutes of a fantasy novel. And I totally understand, because it was like they were trying to make so much lore fit in one movie. It was too much lore and not enough explanation, or not enough like even like anything getting explained. Yeah, nothing was explained.
With the people leaving the town. Oh, we gotta leave. The shadows ate my city. The White Queen is sleeping. There's a relic.
Or, and yeah, like, what a charm. And we had to rewind it because we were all like, what? What is happening?
Was this a book that the movie was based on?
So I was looking. It looks like, all right, so I'm just going to read this from the Muppet fandom wiki on the entry for Mirror Mask. Sony, which owns the video rights for Labyrinth, asked the Jim Henson Company if they could produce a sequel for them. Since Labyrinth is partly owned by Lucasfilm, it was decided they would instead make a movie similar to Labyrinth,
right, of course,
but with no direct narrative ties.
Or no narrative ties to itself.
Lisa Henson then contacted writer Neil Gaiman and asked him if he and his frequent collaborator, graphic novel artist Dave McKean, would be interested in making the movie. They would write the movie and McKean would direct it.
Okay.
They stayed in the Henson family house in London. They wrote the first draft, inspired,
and they
by
got
a
really fucking high. It's literally they went and they went in the Henson family house, and they probably smoked Jim Henson's real good weed that is stored somewhere in a dank ass place.
So ostensibly, this is the spiritual successor to Labyrinth.
Interesting.
Right. Huh. Right. Cool. Yes, but no, stop it. It's not that bad. There were so many creative elements that were really fun. I'm glad I got to see it. And I feel like that movie was a good representation of like the inside of an artist's mind. Like can tell that this movie was created by people who think, dare I say, like me, Eric, you love me, but like that kind of fucking thought where you're just like creating and you're like, woo!
And like you said, like that, yes, I can see why Monty likes this movie and is drawn to it. Like 100%. That's
absolutely
awesome.
The art in it is super cool. Like, you know, I have to say the masks themselves, I have to give a shout out. Like, I'm getting an Oscar. I thank you, everybody. I would like to give a shout out to the people who made the masks because they were fucking insane.
Yeah.
The difference between, for example, the paper mask, the very simple paper mask that the, I don't know, that guy at the Pearly Gates, the vizier or whoever the fuck he was there. It was just paper torn in strips in kind of vaguely in the shape of a person. Mm-hmm. And then you have like that beautiful moon mask with the silver on it. Or you have like just the fucking weird Valentino or Valentine's mask. Just this weird like 80s. It reminded me of the guy from Back to the Future. Like I remember him in Back to the Future too, but he was apparently a real guy. That guy that's welcome to the 1980s. That guy, it was like a TV thing.
Max Headroom.
Yeah, Max Headroom. Like it reminded me of a Max Headroom kind of situation. And like every one of them was just so, what, the fucking old lady with her like creepy kind of veilish dead leaves melting face.
The problem is they're insane. Lady, yes. The mask store lady is like paper mache.
Yes. Yeah.
But they were all like lost to me. So
because it was confusing.
It was just like
I understand. But if you think of this movie,
the dad's one at the Pearly Gates or whatever, that was the most memorable one to me. The other ones, like, I couldn't, like, they didn't stand out.
Well, because of the CGI stuff was also fucking weird. And so you miss the practical. Honestly, I think that that's true. But I was especially paying attention to it because I love costume design and stuff. But
it felt like
seriously,
I was looking at everything through like 7 filters.
Yes, I agree. Because literally sometimes that's what it was. Yeah. There were like these weird sparklies in front and then like a fucking design, like some kind of graphic flying across the screen. And you're like, what am I watching? Like a fever dream for sure.
Yes.
But like if this was your favorite movie, like I'm gonna say anything negative that we've said or that at least I've said, this is the kind of movie where I can totally see watching it as a younger person at least and then being like, that is absolutely my favorite movie because I love Labyrinth. I mean, I think Labyrinth is a better movie. I think Legend is a better movie, but you know what, Legend is also like fucking weird as fuck. Have you guys seen Legend?
You've never seen it? I don't remember it
at all. Like the fucking swamp witch and shit and like the fairies, weird stuff. Yep. So like, and I love that movie. So if you've seen this so many times, you're going to pick up more weird shit that's
like,
in the background.
I loved Pan's Labyrinth. Like,
yes, it's so good.
That's like, to me, like the
But that's like
sure.
a whole other level of, yeah, I mean, that's Guillermo.
I understand.
I mean,
but then there's the Legend of the Dark Crystal. Like that's
that is my favorite. That is my personal favorite. I didn't even mention it, but that's the one I grew up watching the most. Dark Crystal. Love.
So I want to return to Everwood characters.
Oh yes.
And what they would think, because obviously I think Eric is putting on display how Dr. Abbott would like react. If every time first of all, I think he would probably have left the movie theater and gone out and just like to sit in the car and like read a newspaper or something. And then whenever anybody like brought up the movie to him later, he would be just like, ugh.
Or like he would go out of his way to mention that he had seen it or something, but only to talk about it negatively.
Maybe he would have his own fucking special interpretation of it, don't you think? Like maybe he would see something in it that's super like, and he would be like, anyone who doesn't understand this movie is just a heathen, you know, whatever. Like he might have like a, because he reads Neil Gaiman or something, even though that's not
Andrew
like high literature,
more likely
but
to be like baffled by it.
Or maybe he would love it. Baby. I think Andy would love the movie Avatar, so I think he would also love this movie. I think Andy would go to the theater and be so fucking excited.
I can just picture Andy walking out of the movie and smiling at Ephraim saying, that was something else.
Yes! Absolutely. Like, he doesn't get it at all, but he's, like, excited to do something with Ephraim and was it was pretty. I like that mask that I saw. It was pretty great.
I think Delia would be really into it. I bet Delia would be like, this is great. Well, I want to draw. She would go with Edna and Irv, and Irv would be like,
oh my God,
not enough narration. they need some more narration to help make sense of all this. Mm-hmm. I could have done that. Mm-hmm. Edna would be like, well, it's no T3.
But also, the whole Brown family would be like, but wait, the mom's supposed to die.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. She lived?
That's
And also, I did not like the line when they were in the library and she was like, who would have thought books would have different personalities? I was like, well, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally like books have genres.
Right.
So that's.
But also, a book is an entire, like, come on. It's an entire thought process and world and everything. What? Like, how does it not? It's literally a personality. Exactly. Like, right? Like, very so literally. Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Well, let's give it our ratings.
Oh my god. I forgot that just, we rate things.
You know, it's so weird. Sorry, I just had one more like association to another movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you have seen this. Now I have to remember what is it called? It has Sissy Spacek.
Okay.
We had it on like VHS and it's a weird movie. Like it kind of freaked me out as a kid.
Oh.
Like we recorded it off of TV or something. It's the kids like say they don't want her as a mom.
Oh my god.
And then like she goes away and then like other like her plays like other people as their mom.
And they have different
like, there's like an outdoorsy like physical fitness mom. There's a circus mom, which really like brought me like, ooh. Maybe that's why I don't like
it. You're thinking of Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That one where they Mystic River Sissy Spacek.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mommy? Trading Mom? Looks like that's what it is. Trading Mom from 1994.
It has Anna Chlumsky in it.
Yeah, that's one of her kids.
Oh, wow.
Is that how you say her fucking last name? I don't think I've ever heard it said aloud, but I love her. I love her.
You've watched Veep, yeah?
No.
Very little.
She's in it?
Oh my god. She's a main
really?
Character.
Oh yeah, she's like one of her.
I gotta see it now, I guess. Jeez.
No, I mean, Veeps.
I've been
Veeps.
Wanting to
okay,
see it.
Okay, Adam, anyway. I don't usually typically watch political stuff, like like political movies, but like if it's good, and I've heard it's good, I just am like, is it depressing? Does it ever get like depressing?
I don't think it is ever sincere enough to be depressing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Unless that in itself could be depressing, like, oh, it's so insincere. But no, it's just funny and like darkly funny and like really biting. Like the writing is so like, funny and dark and like, oh my. Okay. Like, but
all
it's
right.
really
awesome.
Good. It's very good.
All right. I guess
all right. See
it.
So ratings. So
shit.
Three ratings. In anticipation, while watching, and in retrospect. Mm. These ratings are so much more applicable to movies, by the way. That's where I got them. I got this rating system from the Truth in Movies podcast. Like, it's kind of a weird fit to try to do them for episodes of Everwood.
I think we do a pretty good job every time.
I'm sure. We do. So, let's start with Eric. What are your ratings? For Mirror Mask.
Oh no.
All right. So in anticipation, I'm gonna say 3 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad to hear that Neil Gaiman was involved. I like Neil Gaiman. I've read a bunch of his books. The sort of the imagery that I'd seen in little bits, I was like, I'm okay with that. But, like, also, like, I've never heard of it. And it has Neil Gaiman involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
So why haven't I heard
exactly.
of it?
Right. And it's 13 years old or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, longer. 17
we
years old.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
We were both saying this.
All right. And then while watching...
This is why I'm starting with him. So we can
just rip the Band-Aid off. Just say it.
And on a better note.
1 star.
Wow.
That's so low, babe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
there's no
it was
way.
An unpleasant experience to watch most of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Like once the dream started, I was like, done. And
you don't want to give it a star for the first 10 minutes?
No. Because I wouldn't. The first, they weren't good enough to make it. And then when they went back to the real world, it was like, oh, here's the ending that has no surprises for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in retrospect, I feel no different about it. One star.
Well, one thing we can say, Monty, is that we love and respect you enough as a friend and as a fan of our content to give you our unbridled truth.
As always, I've given my genuine star rating.
This is the first time.
Because you always give joke ratings, and this is the first time you've ever actually.
You could have been like, "Holy shit, it was my favorite movie, 555," and then we would have moved on.
Or you could have been like, "Okay, this is what you would normally do, right?" Like, in anticipation, 3 stars. While watching, 1 star is terrible. After the fact, I'm gonna have to say 5 stars, if only for the gross age difference in the relationship. I thought that was hot.
Yes, exactly. There you go. That's a very good Eric rating.
So consider this, like, you're rusty. Uh-huh. We've not been doing the podcast for a while.
I never go first.
That's true. Yeah. We always have Eric go either second or last. And that's so his joking is always in relation to what we do.
Yes.
Well, I guess this is we got the truth out of Eric.
Yeah,
that's a 3-1-1.
Yeah, you're welcome, Monty.
Like the band.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
From Eric, it's a band called 3-1-1.
Sounds like it.
Okay, KT, what are your ratings?
Okay, how do I do that? How do I rate this? In anticipation, I mean, basically, Eric said we were like talking about this for weeks because I was like, we got to watch this fucking movie that looks really fucking weird. Like, I was freaked out by the cat thing and I didn't look up anything because I don't even watch for modern movies. I don't watch previews. I don't like to spoil a single thing about the movie I'm about to see.
Mm-hmm.
So just having that image, and over time, I will say, because I only saw the image when they posted it in the Discord. And then I never looked again. So over time, the image kind of even changed in my brain about what the fucking image was. And I was also picturing like Jemaine Clement on the cat in What We Do in the Shadows. So like I had this like weird, like dark, more dark, but also like, I don't know. It was so I was nervous about watching it. I will say in anticipation of the actual movie and not enjoying it with our friends, in anticipation of the movie, probably 2. Lower than Eric, I guess, apparently. Yeah. I really was like, it's the thing about Neil Gaiman is a pretty, I don't know, in nerd circles, a pretty big fucking name, right?
He's good. He's a great writer.
American Gods was really liked for a while, right?
Sandman, I don't even know if it's like still on. One of the best known graphic novels.
Right, exactly. Like, this is not a small time person. So when you see, I mean, sometimes you look in someone's history and you're like, oh yeah, that was a great movie when he was a baby that he made. But like this, I was like, God, it's probably going to be not great. And I'm worried about hurting Monty's feelings. And I don't want to do that. But I'm also going to be honest. Anticipation, I was nervous. But while watching, I don't think it was as bad as what Eric thinks. Like, I think it was super creative. It did remind me of like other 80s movies that I like for their nostalgia, probably. And also, like, who doesn't love like weird, creepy, like Tim Burton-y kind of shit? Like, the art was really cool. Circus stuff is really fun. Like, a young person finding like who they are or like going on a journey is really fun. It was interesting to watch, especially at first. This is going to be my most complicated section of the review, guys. Just hold on. It's because no. At first, I was like, oh, this might be like a 4. Like, wow, what a hidden gem. Like, nobody knows this. And as time went on, it was like, oh, geez, it's so long. And like, it's so, I really want this to be over. I don't really want to watch this anymore. Let's cut to the end. So like, I don't know, average 3 while watching. And then afterwards, I like talking about it with you guys, and we found a lot to appreciate. I just wish it was shorter. I'll go with a 3. Is that terrible?
No.
I'm sorry, Monty.
No, a 3-1-1 is terrible. A 233 is perfectly serviceable. Okay.
But I will say that there were some five like reactions in it. There was some, yeah. I really liked the creativity. I liked the art. I thought the actress was pretty good, right? Like none of the actors failed. Everything was pretty solid. It seemed like it was a project made with love.
Yeah.
I think. Totally. People were excited to work with Neil Gaiman and do something with him. Sure. So, yeah.
All right. Absolutely. I want to say before I forget, so we've mentioned the Discord a couple of times. Mm. This is a Discord server for KT and Eric's Pork Fried Dice podcast, which is a D&D podcast. And I'm in there. A bunch of listeners are in there. Monty's in there. But anyway, we have a channel in that server dedicated to Everwood Never Wouldn't. So if y'all are listening to, if you are an Everwood Never Wouldn't fan and you actually decided to listen to us talk about Mirror Mask and are curious about joining a Discord server where you could actually talk about Everwood Never Wouldn't in that channel, I will put that link in the episode description. In case you want to come talk everyone with us. And you could also check out Pork Fried Dice and talk about that there too. So that's an explanation of the Discord. That's where Monty it was in that channel, the Everwood Never Wouldn't channel that Monty posted saying like, I've listened to this podcast like twice. Wait, I don't know. They might've mentioned that in the Helpful Goat Discord. They said like, cause I mentioned the Everwood podcast and Monty was like, that podcast is amazing. I've listened to every episode 2 times. Everyone should check it out.
Monty is really nice. Monty's, like, Monty's great.
All right. So my ratings.
I'm so glad that they didn't make this movie. I'd feel way worse.
Oh my God. No. I wouldn't feel worse because it'd be like, Monty, was this your first fucking movie? That's fucking amazing. Like,
five.
Right. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like the people involved in this, I just thought it would be a little better, but like, yeah. He probably just was like, I gotta fit in all my creative ideas, right? Who knows when I'll get another movie?
But so anyway, okay, my ratings. In anticipation, I'd say like
10 stars. Look at his face.
No, what's you know.
Let's go.
I'd say at least 4 stars. Like okay. I just was excited that it was a movie that I had not heard of. Like that is really intriguing to me. And then it was somebody who I know and like was like, gotta check this movie out.
Yeah, I was in anticipation of doing this. 5 stars. For sure. I don't want Monty to think that I was like not wanting to do this. I was definitely looking forward to this entire thing. Uh-huh. But as far as the movie, I had trepidation.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, it sounds like you had anxiety around, because you were worried about like hurting Monty's feelings.
Yes. It, yes.
Right. It sounds like both of you had like, I mean, varying degrees of like reluctance around the imagery that you saw.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to me because like, for me, it's like awesome, like weird, fucked up, like cool. Like I'm in no way like thrown off or like put off or concerned about.
It's not like, concerning. Like, it's that we've seen a lot of crappy animated stuff for children. That is like when an animation isn't good, it often signals that the movie and everything else is going to be crap. And I don't mean that in case of adult movies, but that's our perspective. Like we have been subjected to the whims of our children being like, oh my God, look at this movie. And we're like, we have never seen nor heard nor smelled. This movie in our entire lives. And you look up, it's like one review by the guy's brother. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's okay. And that's his review. Like I have like an aversion to that kind of thing because I'm like, this is probably not going to be good. It's going to be like every other crappily animated thing that we've watched in the past 10 years. So it's like, it's that. Yeah.
Well, I'd say 4 for me. I considered like it a 5, but I mean, I would reserve a 5 for something like Everything Everywhere All at Once, where I like saw the trailer, knew like, oh my god, I'm gonna fucking love this. Like, that would be a 5 for me. This was a 4 while watching. I was not as like I did not have a visceral feeling of like unpleasantness, even about like the length of the movie. Mm. About like for me, I was marking and noting the like, okay, like this is starting to get a, like the novelty starting to wear off, or like, mm-hmm, okay, this is kind of long, or like, okay, the story is not the easiest thing to track. Mm-hmm. So like I was noting those things, but I wasn't like those things didn't affect my enjoyment of the movie. Mm-hmm. Because I pretty consistently, even up through the end, even with those like, huh, is this working? Mm-hmm. It still stayed at the level of like curiosity for me. Like, mm-hmm, this is a curious film, and I'm so curious about it. I'm curious about what it's doing and why it's doing it. I'm curious about like the ways that it might not be doing it as well as it could have. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about like, where is the story going? And like, what are they trying to say? So like, it stayed in that realm for me throughout. And at no point did I like start to feel like, ugh, you know, I was just like, okay, interesting. The only exception to that, I think, would be like when it got into the like weird suggestion of like romantic connection. Like, that's when I was like, oh, between her and Valentine. So it's either a 3 or 4 for me. Maybe like a 3.5, like rounded up to a 4, because I can get bored and like miserable watching certain things. Like I know how that feels. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I didn't feel that with this, like, that's saying something. Like, mm-hmm, so I'll say honestly a 4. Like I thought that I was so like glad to be watching it. It was so unique. And like I said, like singularly, like, doing something that I haven't seen. I mean, again, except for all of those other movies that have done like this type of story before, the visual aesthetic was, mm-hmm, like, uh-huh, so fascinating to me. Oh, so yeah. Mm-hmm. A 4 while watching. And after the fact, I will say I'll give it a 3, just because, you know, processing through that. Yeah. Like that age difference between these two actors and the and really letting that settle in of like, yeah, they didn't handle that well. Like, I just I have to honor the like sitting with it, discussing it. Like, I've really enjoyed discussing it, and I'm really glad I watched it. But I can't, you know, I don't think it's a 4 movie for me. I think it's a 3.
Right.
Because it's got a lot of like weird, interesting things going for it. And then some unfortunate just kind of execution things that, you know, could have been better and weren't. It was just, yeah, that's fine. It happens. Mm-hmm. So that is a 3-1-1 from Eric, a 2-3-3 from KT, and a 4-4-3 from me. Monty, we love you. We are so sorry that you've been going through all this shitty stuff with flooding and your home and your town and other things that are happening. Like, just, you know, hang in there. I hope that you are connecting with people who love you and who care about you. And I hope that when this episode drops in the feed, I hope that you're able to enjoy it.
Yes.
And that you take our criticisms in the spirit in which they're intended.
I think Monty wants us to be 100%. Honest. If I had come in, I could have been like, Monty, that was the best movie I have ever seen. And Monty would have seen right through my bullshit, because I'm good at bullshitting and I refuse to do it when I'm talking about a movie for Monty.
So you're saying I won.
You won the honesty award.
You win the honesty award, Eric.
Asshole award.
The real world, Eric? I think you could handle the real world.
But not road rules.
or road trip.
Right. Rob Brydon, everybody. Also, yeah, I hope, Monty, that that your enjoyment of this episode outweighs the disappointment of everybody else who, like, goes to the feed excited to see a new episode.
Oh, my God.
This instead.
I don't care if anyone's offended by this. What the fuck, dudes? Just go watch Mirror Mask and fuck off. It was only like $3.99 on YouTube, I think, right? $4.99.
We tried watching it on this site Canopy with a K at first, which is like if you have a library card, you can access it. We were having some trouble streaming it there, so we rented it on YouTube.
Yeah, so you can see it for free, though, if you have a library card. The library is awesome, guys. Check it out. This has been a podcast about libraries.
The library.
It is tired time. It is 11:51. I feel like that lady with a scary paper wasp mask. Melty old lady. That's what I feel like.
Well, this has been a bonus episode of Ever Would, Never Wouldn't. A podcast where sometimes...
when you have a shitty life situation, we'll make a podcast for you.
We'll make an episode.
Write to us and tell us how shitty your life is. Oh, maybe shit. We'll watch your favorite movie and review it.
Oh.
Requests are currently closed. We're not taking requests.
I don't know. You can write to me. Write at porkfrieddice at gmail.com.
If you come to the Discord server... that is the place in the Never Wouldn't channel to submit your thoughts and requests for future.
I'm not saying we will do it, but I will listen and hear them. Yeah. And if I want to do it, maybe we'll I will. It.
But again, it'll probably only be between seasons. So we're probably only going to do one more of these between us watching season 3 and season 4.
Well, then between season 4 and then season 1 of whatever the next show we watch is.
Oh, yeah. So Ever Would, Never Wouldn't. We have to like, what's... maybe move on to like Deadwood. Thank you all for joining us. Stay tuned. Stay subscribed to this feed. We will be releasing season 2 of Ever Would, Never Wouldn't soon. And now we will close out with the traditional Mirror Mask theme song. Let's hit it. 1 and a 2 and a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mirror mask.
It's a mask you wear when you're feeling things about your sick mom.
It's a mirror. It's a window. What is it? Who knows? It's a mirror mask.
All right, solo, Eric.
Oh no.
Right? And we know that it turns into a duet.
Mirror mask.
Neil Gaiman.
All right, stop.